Let's turn in God's Word to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And we'll read the whole chapter, beginning in verse 1. Romans 15, and beginning in verse 1, these are God's holy words. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust." Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, "To whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand." For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you, but now having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you. For I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. But now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints. For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of the spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come by you into Spain. And I am sure that when I come unto you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints, that it may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Those are God's words. We're hearing this evening the commands for us, Christ's bride, to not please ourselves, but rather to seek to serve and please our neighbors where we're able, according to the truth of God's word in love. Our great example is there in Christ at the cross, verse 3, "For even Christ pleased not Himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me." We are then to receive one another, and that through verse 7, when one of our members, joined a couple weeks ago, no matter what, we are to receive them because Christ has received them, right? And so that then we receive them. Through verse 13 then, "We are in all things to glorify the Lord. We were created to glorify Him." Through verse 16, we come back to where we then started in chapter 1. That we must not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, as Paul now begins closing this letter to the church in Rome. He's talking about his proclaiming of the gospel and their duty in it as well, and testifying of Jesus Christ. And so we are to be bold and zealous in the gospel as well. And then the rest of the chapter is much of the same. An earnest appeal to each of us to glorify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, especially, of course, an appeal to gospel ministers. And the end of the chapter gives the Lord's providence for the Apostle Paul's ministry. And so here, a big theme in this chapter that ought to take most of our attention is to serve one another in love in the church. Here at the close of this letter, and Paul's talking about coming to see the church in Rome on his way to Spain, but first he has to go to Jerusalem. That's where, in the book of Acts, we know Paul went to Jerusalem, and that's where he was captured. So in God's providence, it was not the Lord's providence that he would come to Rome and the church in Spain according to the way he describes here, but this was his plan. And he prayed for it. He's asking them to pray for it. And yet that wasn't the Lord's will. That was not the Lord's plan. And yet nonetheless, he did come to Rome. And he ministered to many of the saints there, nonetheless, in God's providence. But that's where we are here in Romans 15. Let's pray and ask for the Lord's help. Our gracious Father, how great you are to us, that you have given us not only of your Son, of the reproaches that fell upon him, that ought to have fallen upon us, and ought to be upon us for all eternity in hell. But Father, you have not permitted this, nor ordained this for your children, but rather Christ received them for us. All the condemnation for our sins and our wants. And we give you praise, therefore, for him and for your Son, for our Savior and our Redeemer, and as we'll hear this evening, our King and our Priest. And Father, we give praise to you, asking, as you have given us one another, we ask that we would be those who serve one another in love, not seeking to please ourselves, but seeking to please our neighbor, and especially those in the body of Christ, that we would seek to minister, give where those are in need, to help where those are in need of help, and serve. And even for those who are in sin, that we would gently and faithfully proclaim the truth and instruct and disciple one another. Father, we pray that you would turn this congregation from her sins and our idolatries and many things that we hold up as dear, which are nothing but vanity. We pray that you would reveal it to us and turn us from it, not only in the life of the congregation, but also in the life of our families, our individual lives. Turn us from such sins and turn us unto you, the living God. And in this, Father, we pray for co-laborers, for the elders. We pray for more elders, a new generation of elders, a new generation of deacons, that you would raise up and call to such ministry for your glory. That the elders would be able to focus more intently on the word and prayer, and the deacons would be able to help the elders to do this and serve well the congregation. We pray that you would provide for us. As we have struggled financially, we ask that you would provide for us. We're thankful for the many, for the much that you have given that we have been using to continue worshiping for many years. And yet, Father, we confess that we know that these things are running out. We pray that we would be more godly in our stewardship and financial use as families, as a congregation. And you would raise up a faithfulness to give, faithfulness in our heart to love, to worship you, and that you would spur on us to serve you all the more. Father, in this we ask that you would provide for our families. Provide more, if that would be your will, even in this time of in greater inflation and things costing more. Provide for us. And Father, give us faith to trust that you will provide each step, each day that we are here. As we look back, we know that you've been faithful in this. You've always provided for us. And the reason that we are here physically this evening is testimony to that, that you are faithful. Father, protect us. Keep us from harm, from the devil and sin and temptation, and destroy his kingdom, that Christ's kingdom would be exalted. And Father, protect us from our other enemies as well. All those followers of Satan, those of the world, and the wicked. And Father, of them, we pray that you would turn some of their hearts, the elect's hearts, to you. That you would send your Spirit and turn them to you. Father, we also pray for our presbytery. Our presbytery meets this week on Thursday and Friday. We ask that you would grant the elders that meet together wisdom, discernment, to rule according to your word alone, to be just judges, and to exalt Christ your Son. Father, we ask that you would provide ministers for the congregations that are without them right now in Colorado Springs and Houston and San Antonio. We pray for the safety of the elders as they travel, mostly on Wednesday and Friday or Saturday. We ask that you would provide clarity where there is not clarity. And may your will be done. As we seek to rule under the authority of Jesus Christ, we pray that you would hold us accountable to not only our vows that we've taken, but as officers of your church. And pray also for our nation, that you would turn our nation to you. Pray for our rulers, that you would save them. You say, and you promise in 2 Timothy 2, that you desire all types of people to be saved, even kings and rulers and authority. And so, Father, we pray for their salvation. Since you have commanded us to pray for such, which means you will answer according and you will save some of them. And so we pray for them that you would save many, that they would turn unto you and love you and rule according to your word. And above all, that they would covenant with Christ your Son, and not turn to the left or to the right because of man or money or any idols that they have. Rather, you would change this nation and turn us from judgment to exalting Christ your Son. And this we believe you can do, for you've promised to do it at the right time. We look forward to that time and we pray and hope for it at this time, that your name would be praised throughout all the earth and Christ would be exalted as King over all kings forever and ever. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen.